The readings today are taken from Luke chapters 11 and 18. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" From chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?"
Jesus' disciples often asked him the wrong question.
"Show us the Father, save me. Lord, where are you going? Who among us will be the greatest?" On these poorly judged occasions, they found Jesus unwilling to answer what they'd asked. Instead, they maybe found Jesus asking them a question. To ask the right question is a great achievement. It gives the person who is asked the chance to respond, to bring forth an answer that illuminates, inspires, and educates. And in our readings, we have one of the few occasions when the disciples managed to ask a good question, the right question, a question they needed the answer to. And it's also a question that perhaps we need an answer to, irrespective of how long we have journeyed with Jesus, because none of us ever become so mature in the faith, so bold in our discipleship, that we become experts on prayer. That we are in no need of being reminded, being recalibrated by the words of Jesus on the discipline of prayer. So the disciples' good question, "Lord, teach us to pray," is a good question that should resonate in our hearts and minds as well. So let's think about what Jesus reveals to his disciples about prayer in our readings from Luke's Gospel. The response to the disciples' question, "Lord, teach us to pray," is Jesus' sharing of the words of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew's Gospel, the words of the Lord's Prayer come in the Sermon on the Mount, but here in Luke, they are shared to a gathering of just the disciples. And Jesus probably shared this twice. Why not? Jewish rabbis were known to teach their disciples distinctive prayers, prayers that were individual to their teaching. And so Jesus sharing his own distinctive prayer was not a surprise. However, from the opening word, he goes beyond what anyone else has dared to do before. Jesus has used the word Father to describe his relationship to God, but here he invites his disciples to do the same. Father, Abba in Aramaic. Not a title of formality, not the language of formal religion, but the language of everyday speech. There's no reserve when Jesus calls God Father, as there was in the rare occurrences it was used of God in the Old Testament. Jesus calls God Father because he knows him intimately, like a child would know their biological father. Jesus, who is one with the Father, addresses him as we would our kith and kin. And yet this term of intimacy is not reserved for the second person of the Trinity alone. Jesus' disciples are invited into sharing this term of intimacy. He is to be our Father as well. We are to consider ourselves God's children and address God in the same way that Jesus does. And the rest of the prayer, even the rest of Jesus' teaching on prayer, flows from this address of God as Father. It's from a relationship of intimacy that we can acknowledge and honour God's holiness, ask for God's and his kingdom to be made known. It's from a relationship of intimacy that we can petition God for the obvious needs of daily food and the less obvious but more necessary needs of forgiveness and strength to face temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites his disciples to see a model of prayer based upon intimacy with God, dependence upon God's covenant faithfulness. The Lord's Prayer invites Jesus' disciples to come before God, not with polite timidity, but with boldness, with confidence. The Lord's Prayer is Jesus' prayer. And Jesus invites us to share that same relationship of intimate trust that he has with the Father. And Jesus follows up this model prayer with a parable about persevering in prayer. The imperative of the Lord's Prayer is to trust in God the Father, to trust in his promises. In the Middle East, people at times would travel at night in order to avoid the heat of the day. And so in this parable, we have someone doing this and turning up at someone's house at midnight. And the conventions of hospitality mean that the host would need to feed them, but this host's cupboard is bare, and so they go and try and borrow some food from their neighbour. Their neighbour is asleep, doesn't want to get up, this friend keeps knocking at the door until eventually this neighbour gives in and gives them some food. And this first parallel then finds a parallel in the second of our readings from Luke's Gospel in chapter 18, where there's the parable of the persistent widow. And she keeps going at this unjust judge until she gets her way. She has an audacity to keep on until she gets justice. She has an I don't care attitude. These are parables of persistence and perseverance. And the contrast in these parables is that God is unlike both the neighbour and the unjust judge. God doesn't answer our prayers because he's just fed up with us asking them. Fed up with us bothering him. Perseverance in our prayers is not about us keeping on until God is so annoyed with our whining that he gives in. The contrast is that God's good pleasure is to answer our prayers. He is so different to the neighbour and the unjust judge. God's character is trustworthy when it comes to answering prayer. Jesus says, will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? God is merciful and compassionate in response to our prayers. And following the first parable, Jesus draws things together. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened up to you. And these are present tense actions, things that are to be done now. These are habits and practices of ongoing engagement in prayer. Prayer is to become a continuous practice for us. We know that. But it's not about us always praying every second of every minute of every day, but that we're to pray consistently, pray persistently, without losing heart. That's what Paul meant when he wrote, pray continually. Prayer for Jesus' disciples is not to be passive. Jesus wants his disciples to have an active prayer life. That's why he made the Lord's Prayer something simple, direct, definite, and inviting. It was not about giving them a burden, about learning long prayers by rote, but was inviting them into an adventure, into a relationship. And prayer for Jesus' disciples was founded on that first word of the Lord's Prayer, Father, and a relationship of intimacy. We need to recognise that not everyone will be comfortable using the word father because their experience of earthly fathers hasn't been great. We need to acknowledge that. And it's not political correctness gone mad. It's simply their experience. And on Friday, in an address, the Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, said in an aside that some people in their recitation of the Lord's Prayer need to carefully consider that use of the words Our Father, because some people will find it difficult, and the media as usual blew that out of proportion. Stephen Cottrell's concern was pastoral concern, and his point is valid for those people whose experience of earthly fathers is negative. For those of us who've had more positive examples of fathers, maybe not see this as an issue, and we need to be mindful of this, be non-judgmental and be non-condemning. And what we need to do as Christians is share a view of God as Father as beyond the attributes of any earthly father. We need to qualify our use of Father, because if we believe the truth of God as Father, there will never be any earthly father, however positive an example, that will come close to fulfilling that characteristic. Kenneth Bailey, a writer on the New Testament from a Middle Eastern perspective, suggests that when Jesus uses the term father, the image he always has in mind is the father in the parable of the prodigal son. The father who's left behind anger and punishment, and instead chooses love and grace. We need to put aside our concern about what others find difficult and instead allow them to find other ways to express their understanding of the parenthood of God. We need to lay aside our unease about orthodox language for the sake of pastoral love. Because if we believe in a God who is Father and is all-loving, all-merciful and all-gracious, I'm not sure he's all that bothered about how people go about dressing him. What's more important is people that are coming before him honestly in prayer. That too was in a related and aside. It's about the only thing I have in common with the Archbishop of York. Yet it is this word Father that I feel is at the heart of Christian prayer, as Jesus taught it, because it's this relationship of intimacy that is important. Because we become children of our Father in heaven. The intimacy in which we can approach God is what sets apart Christian prayer. We don't have to hold ourselves back in reserve. We don't have to come before God with specific words in special places at certain times in order to pray. Prayer is to be as natural as talking to the person sitting next to you. As personal as talking to your best friend. And Christian prayer will flow from a relationship of intimacy. That's the foundation. Prayer is to be an interpersonal encounter with God. And that was the transformation that Jesus made in understanding prayer. He took God from being someone remote and detached, even though God cared deeply for Israel, and made God someone who was part of the fabric of their everyday lives. And in that simple term, Father, he did that. There were more formal words for Father that he could have used than the word Abba. That was simply the word that children around the home used. I never called my dad Mr. Mills or Michael. Or Mike, or even Father. He was just always Dad. Plain, simple Dad. That was the nature of our relationship. And Jesus teaches us to address God with that same level of intimacy. Yet we often revert to using formal titles when we come before God. We call him the theological version of Mr. or Sir when we pray, with the hope that we get a better response to our prayers. All God wants for us is to come before him honestly and openly. Prayer that flows from a relationship of intimacy, however we choose to express this in words. So many people see God as remote and detached from their lives. Pete Gregg writes, they envisage God as scowling, perpetually disapproving, invariably disappointed, and needing to be placated or persuaded in prayer. And Pete Gregg comments, if that's how you picture God, I don't really blame you for trying to avoid his gaze. But if we come to know God as being like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, we will see God, the God to whom we pray, as the one who is extravagantly kind. A Father who comes towards us with arms flung open wide. Whenever we approach him, wherever we've been, whatever we've done, we will always be his dearly loved children. And the teaching of Luke's gospel reminds us that it's not in how we address God that will get us a better response. Not the words we use, not how often we pray, not how loud we are, not even how persevering we are in our prayer. But simply about laying our hearts before our Heavenly Father and saying, your will be done. Trusting our loving, merciful and gracious God with our prayers. Jesus is inviting his disciples to call God Father. And in doing so, he's inviting them into a relationship of intimacy. Prayer is a simple, direct, and definite manner of addressing God, our Father.
Prayer is to be the breath of the Christian life, the spirit of adventure that encourages us on the journey. May we all know the wonder and intimacy that prayer brings us as Jesus' disciples. Let's pray. Lord, may the question of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, be a question that constantly reverberates in our minds. May we constantly be coming before you, our Heavenly Father, as your children, knowing that we don't need to dress up our prayers, knowing that we don't need to offer you flowery or precise or proper language, that we just need to give you our hearts, our lives as they are, and say, your will be done. Lord, you long to meet us. Lord, in prayer, may we acknowledge who you really are. May we thank you for what you have done. May we honour your presence in our lives. Amen.